Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday, the 12th of September. I'm Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by Luke Moore. It's as simple as that, really. We sit here for half an hour every Monday, every Thursday, and we do the Luke and Pete Show. And it's about Luke's life, it's about my life, it's about your lives, listeners. So if you want to get to the show,
life.
Hello, LukeandPeteShow.com is the way to do it. Do not crash the email, you C word.
I'm trying
to do my best with the admin.
Do the email address again, because I did sing Desiree over it.
Hello at LukeandPeteShow.com.
I also want to say at the top of the show rather than at the end of the show, because I've got the Pete, I think our listeners to this show won't be as bad as some out there, but I think as soon as you start making those movements towards wrapping up the show, people, you know what people are like, the bastards, they'll be like, right, what's next? They'll turn it off.
Yep.
So they're getting their
bags. They're getting their bags on their shoulders. Yeah. They're walking out. Don't go. Don't go until you're dismissed, we'll shout.
Yeah, that bell's for me, not for you, as the teacher would say. So I want to say at the top of the show today, if you have enjoyed the show, we've had some lovely emails recently, and it's been really nice to hear. I want to try and find one specifically. It's from Tom, actually. Hope he doesn't mind me reading his name out, Tom. I'll just use his first name in case he does. But he just emailed in saying, look, I've got nothing to contribute to the show, but I really enjoy listening to it, and thank you very much for making it for us. And that kind of stuff's lovely.
Get fucked, Tom. Get fucked, you fucking simp. You Luke and Pete Show simp.
You soy
Get
boy.
Over yourself.
I would like to say that if you do want to appreciate the show, we always love hearing from you in whatever capacity, but if you do really want to show us some real appreciation, it's a 5-star review wherever you get your pods. So please do that, because it's not only an endorsement for us, but it's a ringing endorsement for producer Rory and our other colleagues as well, all of whom work really hard and don't get the credit. They don't get to swan around in leather waistcoats or get all the plaudits. So we should try and appreciate them as well if we can.
The thing about this leather waistcoat, which I'm still wearing, because we haven't just recorded two shows together, honest, Governor, this was from eBay. So this has been taken from someone's body, not like they're dead, hopefully not.
We don't know
mind
that.
You leather waistcoat 60s. This was on somebody. This was worn unironically by somebody. I'm wearing it ironically until I'm not.
who is it who said that we become what we pretend to be, right?
Yes, okay.
I think it might, I'm gonna hazard a guess that it's probably a Kurt Vonnegut or a Mark Twain. We are what we become what we pretend to be, right?
Yeah.
You've pretended to be an ass for a while now.
Yeah.
Ironically,
I've become an ass.
Has the line been blurred at all?
The ass line. Ass crack.
Yeah.
Has the ass crack been blurred between ass and non ass? Yeah, no, I completely agree. I have become an ass because I played an ass so many times and so often.
No, I don't think you are an ass. I think you're a lovely pair of nuts.
Thanks. Thanks, mate.
So on Thursday, we talked about the idea that today, on Monday, happy Monday, everyone, by the way.
Happy
Lovely
Monday,
to
everyone.
Have you with us. Another start of another great week, we hope.
Yeah, baby.
You talked about the fact that you went to Wales, to Cardiff, to watch Clash at the Castle, a WWE event.
Yes.
With Mark Haynes, your pal from WrestleMania. And I think, you know, for the avoidance of any doubt, if you wanted to hear a proper deep dive on that event and on wrestling generally, Pete and Mark's show WrestleMe is over there and available to listen if you want to part with a little bit of cash. Is that right, Peter?
That's correct, yeah. Mark's very good. We are, by the time you've heard this, we've just done a live show in King's Place and we had a bloody lovely time, no doubt. We're currently sort of dealing with the launch of the Attitude Era, which is actually quite interesting because we watched a documentary about Woodstock 99 or whatever it was quite recently, and similar sort of vibe, similar sort of time, similar sort of men shouting fucking yeah, fucking up yours, middle finger, all that shit. So it's quite interesting to see how weird the male ego was.
So head over there for that. I couldn't agree more. But Peter, you did say that you wanted to talk a little bit about it on this show as well. Now, without duplicating some of the excellent content over there, so you haven't talked about Clash of the Castle and WrestleMe at the Castle of WrestleMe yet, but you can talk about it here now.
Done a little bit. Done a little review in the hotel room. Two men with
beards. Because I watched a bit of it on TV. I knew you'd want to talk about it. I thought Pete's going to want to talk about this. It's the first wrestling event in the UK since like 1992 or whatever. It's free to watch if you've got a BT Sports subscription, which I had, and the Wi-Fi I've access to was away for the weekend. So could the stars have aligned any better?
Well, what was your highlights then? Because you're not a man who watches a lot of wrestling. What was your favourite bits?
Well, I'm not a man who watches any wrestling, in fact. my highlights were... my experience and memory of watching WWF as it was then was mostly on VHS videotape.
Yeah.
Recorded off the telly or bought for us for Christmas or birthdays or whatever. WrestleMania 7, you know, I think 7 was... I think Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
One thing I massively wasn't prepared for watching it last weekend, whenever it was the HD coverage is so almost, I want to say intimate, that it's quite unsettling.
What do you mean? You can see back acne.
So you can really hear the slaps they slap each other with. You can really hear them smashing into the canvas. You can really see like how much they're sweating, how tight their pants are.
Yeah. Right?
The blokes all just wear little tiny pairs of pants, obviously. and so I watched the fights I watched, or the bouts, whatever they call them in parlance, were Sheamus versus Gunther.
Yep.
And after that, there was a blonde lady who won some kind of belt whose name I can't remember.
Yeah,
Liv Masters or something? Is that her name?
Liv Morgan.
Okay, right. Yeah, they're the ones I watched.
Yeah. So you saw Walter. Sorry, you saw Gunther, who was called Walter forever, and then he goes up a division a little bit, and now he's called Gunther. Nobody knows why. They just have a real penchant for just changing everyone's names until they own every part of their kind of IP, effectively.
Right.
But Gunther has a real love of doing big slaps, big fucking
there were a lot of
slaps.
Slapping, more slapping than I thought there would be.
Yeah, he's known for being having big hands, and there's a famous picture of him if you type in like Walter slap wrestling, you'll just see a man hitting another man's chest so hard that it ripples in the most disgusting way you've ever seen in your life. But he just knows how to absolutely slam his hands on a man's chest until there's a disgusting ripple kind of effect on it.
Well, that's a great claim to fame. Not one I expected to hear about today.
But that's why Sheamus's chest was all fucked up.
One of the things I found quite interesting was the fact that... So Sheamus, who I did know, who's been around for a long time...
Yeah.
He must have been around for like 20 years. I vaguely remember his kind of... Because I think he's Irish, isn't he? And so not the traditional kind of all-American kind of wrestler type. One thing I wasn't really prepared for either was how much the front rows of the crowd were into it. They're like so into it.
Yeah, it was. I think with, especially at that sort of rate. If you're paying, there are people who were in the, because obviously it was at the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, whatever the fuck they call it now. We were at the very back. We couldn't have been any further back. With 60 quid tickets each, and we had an atrocious view of.
Did you get people recognising you as being the WrestleMe boys?
A couple of times, yeah, a few times, yeah. It makes us know, and hello, anyone, WrestleManiacs, hello, Pat Patronsons, etc., who came and said hello. But we were right at the back, so we can see fuck all. But so the screens were very useful to us. But then there's like that midpoint where if you're at the football, you would be at the front of the crowd. You know what I mean? Because you've got the floor people, and then you're behind them, you've got the people who would be behind the advertising hoardings at a football match.
Yeah, I know, so,
like,
you'd
be there. And they were paying something like £200 for tickets still. And yet they couldn't see anything either. They were miles away from everything. So it's such a big money spinner. And they call capacity at like 60,000, 63,000. The WWE have... it's not libelous to say they frequently do bullshitty things on the attendance. They count people. They count people who work in the like selling beer. They count people like staff. They count people who rig the joint and stuff as people who've watched the show.
How many people are they claiming were there?
So they said it was 62.
Bless you.
Oh lordy.
Bless you again.
Oh lordy. Well, someone think of the common man. So it was probably a lot less than that. And to be honest, half of the good third of the stadium was out of bounds because they didn't put seats there. So because it's behind the camera, so there's no
right,
point so, people there because you can see anything.
So those listening who listen to the Football Ramble as well will know of the legend that is Big Pav.
Mm.
And he took his wife and his three kids to that event, and he told me it cost £1,800.
I mean, good fucking lord. How do you even square that away? That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, he's got loads of money, but he was still moaning about it.
Well, actually,
that's not even transport and hotels and everything.
No. And the hotel, we got lucky because I met Gav. He bought tickets because he's a seasoned Welshman who knows what Cardiff's like on a night like that. And he bought tickets to... He bought a hotel room. He rented a hotel room. What do you do? Did fucking get a hotel room.
Yeah.
Got a hotel room for the night. Everywhere else was like £500 minimum. 500 fucking notes. And everyone was like, all the Airbnbs...
For like an Ibis or something.
500 notes. They were all at least £300. Like, and a normal hotel room. And that was just hostels.
But did you make some beautiful memories?
We did make some beautiful memories. Had a good time. I drank half a bottle of Gaviscon. Never done that before. That was brilliant. That was fucking brilliant. I was like,
Why did you do that?
Well, the night before, I went out for a drink with my mate Al, who's for some reason in Southend, and we went for a drink, and I had one of those, in an IPA place that you have like sours and stuff. And I was like, let's try one of these sour things. And I had a couple of sours. I was like, oh, they're not too bad, actually. They're like, they're pretty interesting. And I like something. I like the tartar end of stuff. And then the next night, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll have one of them. Actually, I'll have a couple of sours before we go in, and I'll have a cider. And I was feeling full of the joys of spring. And then, oh, body doesn't like it. And so as soon as we left the wrestling, I had to go and drink an entire half bottle of Gaviscon and just an amazing amount of Gaviscon.
I'm not sure you should be doing that. Can you overdose on it?
I don't know, because like Americans drink like Pepto-Bismol, don't they? They just fucking slam it down. You can drink a whole bottle of Pepto-Bismol. I mean, you'd be shitting through the Ivy Needle, but
I don't know if you should be saying that on a podcast. You can drink a whole bottle of Pepto-Bismol.
I saw Gordon Ramsay on Hot Ones, you know, when you eat the hot wings. That's a really good episode of Hot Ones. Yeah, and he's just constantly burping and slamming Pepto-Bismol. So, like, he must know what he's talking about.
He's
a big man. He's a big man on campus.
He's got size 14
feet,
apparently.
In summary, it was a lot of fun. Got to tick off a few people, like Bailey and Asuka, who I'd never seen wrestle. And then it got to the end, and the hometown kind of hero, even though it wasn't really his hometown, Drew McIntyre.
Guy, right?
Drew McIntyre, Scottish, and he basically. He's been wanting this pay-per-view to happen in the United Kingdom for years. Like, you know, that was kind of his mission, and he's been, you know, plugging away at it. So come on, let's do a pay-per-view, and it's the first one since SummerSlam 92 or 93 or whatever it was, and so like it's not happened for a very long time, and he gets it and he loses he does a good fight against Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns defeats him thanks to help by what's his name? The boxer, the big boxer.
Tyson Fury.
So Tyson Fury helps him, shakes his hand in the ring, Roman Reigns leaves with the belt and waves at everyone. Goodbye, everyone. Acknowledge me. Daddy eats first. All that stuff. All that bollocks. I'm the biggest dog in the yard. Bollocks. And he leaves. And then Drew McIntyre kind of sort of has a little sing-song with Tyson Fury.
Yes, that's like Tyson Fury's thing.
I know, but why is... Tyson Fury's just helped... His opposition win the belt.
And wrestling's not real, though, is it? It's a theatre, isn't it?
It is theatre, but even for wrestling, and I am pretty across it at the moment, the old wrestling, that's a bit mad. That was
what
a bit
Big
of a
Vince
mad
think
decision.
About all this?
I don't know. He's probably just keeping his head down, I imagine. Yeah. I would be if I was him. But all in all, it was a fun show. Saw a lot of slaps. Everyone was very excited to see Edge. But and we were right at the back. We got to, Mark was talking, and a lady in front told him to be quiet. Be quiet. And the most
she sounds like a Patreon subscriber.
the best thing was that I think at the time Mark was saying how much he thinks he should be a wrestler, which is
my goodness me,
which is funny. It's funny.
Let's have a break, Peter. When we come back, we'll reward our listeners who don't give a shit about wrestling for sticking with us by not talking about wrestling in the second half. How about that?
Okay, if anything, should be rewarded.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
We're back, and it's the Luke and Pete Show. Luke, did you see that clip from this morning with Phil and what's our chops?
Holly.
They're doing a spin to win. Holly, they're doing a spin to win the energy bill.
It made me feel really, really sad. Tell people what it was.
So it was basically they were doing a bit of a Wheel of Fortune, and I think they had callers on. And the callers get the opportunity to spin to win. And you can either win $1,000, $3,000, or, which is probably more these days, your energy bills. And it's just a bit depressing, isn't it?
The guy who was playing on the phone, like, I mean, by his own admission, said he's on the bones of his ass. And he was really hoping for the energy bill prize. And then that's what he did get on the Wheel of Fortune on the UK's premier daytime TV programme. And so he was delighted that he got... I think they said they'll pay the energy bills for 4 months for him. And that is now a prize on a daytime TV show in the UK.
it's a bit. You know, you see like videos from like North Korea, and you go, "Wow, that is disgusting."
What kind of video?
Well, just like, well, literally a TV show giving away fucking energy bills, or giving you a, I don't know, just giving you like a new wall for your house or something. Just something really
depressing. I'm pleased they made it clear on this morning that, because it just said energy bill. I'm pleased they made it clear they weren't just going to hand you another bill. Congratulations, you won an energy bill.
You
I don't think
an
I
energy
want
bill.
That.
Ah, nuts. Never mind.
I don't even have gas in my house. You do now. Yeah, it's
absolutely atrocious.
All very. It's all very kind of depressing. I think also, it's so odd because you know, we're having a moan up about water and the water companies, that kind of stuff, the other week. I was down at my parents last weekend,
right?
And
loads of water down there.
Say again.
Loads of water down there.
I know. And I'm going
to
come on to that in a minute.
To drink.
I'm going to come on to that in a minute. So anyway, I'm driving down there and there's a massive load of traffic. And the reason is, surprisingly, yet another fucking water main has burst. And there's just water pissing out everywhere. No one there fixing it. And it made me double down on my act of civil disobedience, i.e. using the garden hose still whenever I want. Because if they're not going to sort their act out, then fuck them. But on the this might be a particularly stupid question, so I mean, feel free to laugh at me, both you, Pete, and anyone listening. But 2/3 of the world is covered by water, right? Like, I don't understand why there's not been huge amounts of like progress in the idea of desalination and stuff like that, because clearly that could be an answer to this.
What do you mean? As in, you just think pump a load of water out of the? Yeah, but it just takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? Wouldn't it take less energy to purify the water we should already have in the reservoirs?
Well, I know that there are desalination plants in the UK, but what I'm talking about is more the technology of it, that why it isn't kind of a lot more effective, or why we don't use it an awful lot more than we do, if you know what I mean. Because like there's a desalination plant run by Thames Water in London, right? But it only started construction in 2008.
Okay.
And it can only produce, I think, 140 million litres of water a day or so, which sounds like a lot, but I guess in the grand scheme of things, perhaps isn't. And I wondered why it's taken so long for this stuff to happen, particularly when you talk about like places that are genuinely in drought and all the rest of it, proper droughts that are affecting the economies and all the rest of it. It just seems to me like a little bit remiss of us as a species. And look, I'll be totally honest with you, I've done nothing towards this, right? So I'm as much to blame as anyone else, but it just seems crazy to me that like the whole world is covered by so much water that it can't be that hard to desalinate. Or and you know what these things are like. The more technology progresses, the more it's invested in, the better it gets, the more efficient it gets, etc., etc. But it just doesn't really seem to have happened. No one really talks about it that much.
No. Well, maybe it's just not it's not workable. I don't know. I mean, is the water too far away from us? I don't know. I guess...
Well, not really. We're an island, for fuck's sake.
But wouldn't they sort of go... So basically, the water companies, they're losing all the water from their shitty pipes that they've not bothered to pay for the infrastructure for. So instead of paying that money and, you know, slicing the bonuses, what we can do is get some... tax breaks from the government to build new facilities and get loans from the bank to build new facilities. That's all sexy in that. And then we can cream a little bit of money off the top, yeah?
Well, it sounds like it might be a bit like that, but the sea levels are rising. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Take the excess sea levels and desalinate them and use them for water.
Like Edwina Curry on the breakfast television.
That was amazing as well.
With
what
Martin
the fuck
Lewis
is she doing?
With the foil. Let's just evolve to drink salty water.
Do you know what the thing about Edwina Curry, and those listening from outside the UK, you will be blissfully unaware of the existence of Edwina Curry. She's like an ex-Conservative Member of Parliament in the UK. And this is the thing I've got beef with, right? I can probably just about stretch myself to understanding the logic that if you are currently a serving MP and, you know, and you are awful, fine, right? You're awful. You sometimes have to go out there and do your job, right? So you have to just stand in a bucket of shit on behalf of what you consider to be the greater good and talk about shit on TV that makes you embarrassed, right? No, I wouldn't do it, and I'm sure you wouldn't, Peter, and many of our listeners wouldn't, but people do that, and I understand why they do it, even though I wouldn't do it. Edwina Curry's made her dough, right? She is older. She doesn't need this. She doesn't need to be doing it. She's not an MP anymore. She hasn't been for a long time. She's made her dough. Why is she going on this TV show and talking about poor people, in her words, you know, quote unquote, poor people just need to learn how to live without central heating and learn how to put foil behind their radio? You don't need to be doing this. Just say no. You're making an absolute cunt of yourself.
But where does that, how does that kind of, how do you get from the point of view of the TV show on ITV? Like, what, how does it, how do they get hold of it? Why do they ask Edwina Curry? Why are they asking? Where's the agents? Is it an agent? Do they just go to the agency and go, have you got anyone who's got any kind of air of authority, a recognisable face, come on the telly and say something fucking batshit?
Yeah,
have you got, is that kind of the way,
so
the
if
way
it's
to
replicate,
it?
If it's replicable, like when I was on talk radio, like talk sport,
yeah,
in the production meeting, you would have these issues that you were going to cover on the show and you say, right, who knows someone to come on and talk about this?
Yeah,
and okay, so and one of the producers will say, "Oh, I'll call Edwina. She might do it." And they'll call her and say, "Do you want to do it? I need you on at 5 past or whatever. Can you come on?"
Yeah,
and that happens all the time now, particularly in post-COVID, because people don't come in, so they have to organise it. So that's what we would do. We'd say, "Look, I would say, like, oh, yeah, there's been an announcement. I said the Champions League draw's coming up or whatever.
Yeah,
we need to cover it today. Can anyone find someone?" And I would call Andy Brassel or Horncastle or Lars or someone and say, "Look, do you want to come on?" And they would sort the fee out and then they would come on. So it basically just works like that, I think. So she's obviously so out of touch that she's got nothing on that morning. She's probably, you know, the bridge club's not fucking, you know, not in season, or, you know, there's no fucking cake competition to be judging down the fucking local village hall or something. She's just doing it. Like, to me, it's baffling because I saw something I found really interesting, which, you know, is funny. It's like all these like Brexit types, mostly got older kind of conservative voters, you know, it's fine, up to them. But there, I saw someone tweet saying all these older got people, pensioners, who are starting to, all these people in their 60s who are kicking off about the fact that they didn't have central heating when they were growing up, so young people should just get on with it, are about to find out the differences between a teenager's immune system and a 60-year-old's, because if it happens to you, it might be very different at that age, you know? These older people, like, you shouldn't become that type of person who is like, well, I perceive to have had it hard, so you should as well, or you should have it worse. Like, sometimes you hear these kind of, and they're normally right-wing conservative type people, and you hear them talking about how if young people just stopped eating avocados or buying expensive coffees, or, you know, they would be able to do all the things that that person was able to do when they were young. And it's just complete fucking nonsense. Like, it's bullshit.
But the economy doesn't work for young people now.
That's the problem.
But it's the same kind of, like, we talk about the culture war being kind of imported wholesale from the US, and it doesn't really fit. It's a bit of a square peg in a round hole for us, I think, sometimes. So that's why it's dying a little bit, and that's why, you know, I think the second generation of this absolute fucking disaster of a government will probably find it a lot more difficult than even Boris Johnson did. And so I think with I think.
But you mean like generating sort of, like, an imaginary enemy and getting people hit up about shit? That
yeah,
really matter,
I just
yeah,
I just yeah. think I just think some of Liz Truss in particular, who is, you know, I've gone on record on this fucking podcast. I cannot wait for it all to get started properly, because she is a wonderful maniac, like just about as bad as it's ever been, I think.
I would agree with that.
For she's a unique maniac in a front bench of unique maniacs.
If anyone
maniacs.
Could comment on that, I think you are well over your rights, mate. Finally, your chickens have come home.
I don't even say these things out loud. I mean, but I find my mum and dad kind of texting the same kind of talking points that are just the same fucking talking points that the Daily Mail in particular have sort of picked up and have kind of run with. So it's kind of that generation, it's not about anything they've come up by themselves. It's just fucking the Daily Mail. It's just the fucking
and those
sound press.
Bites
and
are generated.
It's not their own. There's never been any sort of independent thought. So, like, they're not coming up with this stuff. They're just repeating because they're tired.
And I think those kind of sound bites.
It's a replacement for charisma these days.
Yeah,
just
they're
repeating what the Daily Mail say.
They're generated on purpose for people to repeat them, aren't they? That's why, yeah. like... That's why political parties have slogans, for example, and that's why newspapers do that kind of thing. But I'll tell you why this, to me, why this is relevant. And I know people don't want us to be preaching forever, and I understand that. But like, the reason this is important for all of us, and the reason this is relevant, I believe, is because you cannot keep squeezing and squeezing and squeezing, particularly young people, and expect it to go on forever and be okay. And what I mean by that is, you are going to get a generation of young people now. And we know, Pete, because we work with, we're very proud to employ and work with a lot of young people, like, relatively speaking. We employ a good handful of them. And they're all amazing. And I'm a great admirer of them for lots of different reasons. But one of the main reasons we have to admire them, I think, is because they are entering into what is, implicitly a social contract with society.
Yeah,
that says if they invest themselves and they work hard and they do this, these are the returns they're going to get. And for our generation, the returns are things like, you own your own house, I own my own house. Everyone older than us, generally speaking, has an opportunity to own their own house. It's not going to be long before the generation currently, the young generation coming out of university now, or perhaps the generation behind them, are going to look at this society and go, it's not fucking worth it. Why the fuck would I bother? Why am I going to bother moving to London, moving to Manchester, moving to Birmingham, moving to Glasgow, Edinburgh, and work really hard in my chosen field for a pittance, knowing I'm never going to be able to own a home, I'm never realistically going to be able to support a family without government help? The social contract isn't worth it, so I don't accept it. And if that happens, the whole economy will collapse. Because the most productive people in this economy are fucking hard-working young people. And of course there's always going to be a certain section of them who are going to be okay because they've got parental income or family wealth to rely on, or they go into certain trades that are still protected in terms of their salaries. Yeah. But at the moment, it's embarrassing for young people because, we have to walk around our office and we know that they're never going to be able to afford these things, even though we pay them as much as we possibly can. So, like, people have to be very, very careful endlessly slating young people as lazy and feckless and making poor decisions when the economy does not work for them. Sooner or later, they are going to say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going somewhere else. Or I'm going to embark on a completely non-traditional lifestyle because it's not worth it for me. So we have to be careful on that stuff. And people like Edwina Curry doing that stupid shit. Yes, on the surface, it's just some old Tory being an idiot, right? But it actually means something more if we carry on doing this. And it's something we've got to be very careful about, I believe.
Do you remember Debbie Curry's single, though? Do you remember her daughter's
You're being
career?
Serious, really? No.
Do you remember?
I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, she was, she just looked like Edwina Curry. It was in, like, the 90s.
Okay, I'm starting to get a couple of bells rung.
Back, yeah.
Now looking at her, yeah. It's not her fault she looks, it's not her fault what her mum does, though, is it?
No, I don't know. I think she's quite vocal in the same way she was quite vocal, to be honest.
Well, I mean, if she's got some dreadful opinions, then they are very much her own fault. But I'm just saying, you can't blame the daughter for the perceived sins of the mother, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, true.
She's got she did her best. I don't think Edwina Curry is currently doing her best.
No. Put some foil over your daughter. If
Put some foil behind your daughter's career. And you'll find the warmth will radiate around the music industry.
Oi, oi, oi. All right, then. We'll be back on Thursday for more battery brands and great stories from the world of car. I'm trying to think what I've got for next show. Car rental, not my own, and other stuff. Battery brands, all kinds of stuff. What
I'm actually
got for
in a
the
bit of a
show,
car
though?
Rental dispute and feud with a well-known car rental company at the moment, so maybe I can lend a voice.
Bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
See you later, guys. Enjoy. Have a great week. See you Thursday.
Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.